Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
Such a special place.
And happy belated 4th of July.
Exactly. I know. I kind of do love the 4th of July.
It's a great holiday.
Yeah. And it doesn't involve any presents. So that just takes so much like weight off of you. Like,
it's true.
It's just about great food, great wine, of course.
Yes.
Hanging with friends and family.
Yep.
So it's like right up there with Thanksgiving for me, where again, it's just about basically hanging out and eating and drinking.
It's the summer Thanksgiving.
So, it's the summer Thanksgiving.
It's the hot Thanksgiving.
I like
right?
that. Yeah. Summer Thanksgiving. With no turkey.
Yeah. No. Oh,
no.
God, no.
No.
No. No. No.
No. So we have a super busy week ahead coming off of the holiday, but a really fun week. So, as you know, we have a lot of great sort of long-term partnerships with Sonoma County Wine Growers, and one of them is with Alaska Airlines. As they, you know, big thank you to them as they recently flew, as they say, the gift of flight, our vineyard employees and a part of our Leadership Academy out to Washington, D.C. So we're so thankful for their partnership for that. But they have their board of directors in town. So they're doing a board meeting. They like to go into some of the regional hubs, which Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, is a regional hub for Alaska Airlines, and have their board in market to kind of experience that. And so they're here this week on, I believe it's on Tuesday night. Yes, Tuesday. I got to keep all my dates straight. On Tuesday evening. And they're actually hosting a little community sort of reception. So we've been working with them to invite a number of just local community and business leaders. And they're hosting us at Orsi Winery. So
nice.
Just for kind of a gathering. And what's really cool is we're going to have a couple of our vineyard employees who are fresh off the DC trip go and actually tell a little bit of their story and how much it meant to go to DC and how much the partnership means. So I'm really excited about that. We'll probably have to bring some Kleenex along because that makes me want to like tear up because it's so meaningful. And then we just go right in the next day and we have the leadership team from John Deere is actually coming into town. And so we're doing a dinner with them and they're increasing their focus on what they consider high value crops or specialty crops, of which wine grapes are one of them. And so we'll be really excited to showcase kind of our local grape growers. They'll meet our pilot farmers and talk a lot about kind of our partnership with them. So kind of a big week for us. So it's kind of like this back-to-back hosting of very important people.
That's a lot of people, and I would imagine quite different groups of people.
Very different. Very different. From Alaska Airlines to John Deere, both companies focused on helping us move in transportation, but in very different ways. And then, obviously, we'll end sort of the fun week on Thursday with the big Love of the Land celebration that our friends over at Sonoma County Farm Bureau put on annually. And it's just a wonderful way to recognize agriculture and our farmers here. So it's going to be 3 nights in a row of lots of good stuff.
Okay, so how can people find out more about that other, the Sonoma County Farm Bureau event?
Yeah, so they can go to the Sonoma County Farm Bureau website right now, and we can put that on the link to all of our shows, and yeah, go and sign up. So I think you can buy tables and come and bring a group, or you can show up on your own. But there's a lot of farmers that get honored. There's a fun reception where you can walk around and sample local food and wine, and it's just I honestly think it's like that and the crab feed that Farm Bureau also puts on are like the two best events in Sonoma County every year, just to honor agriculture.
I was picturing the crab feed. So what do they serve at this one?
Barbecue.
Okay, yeah.
So we shift
so we're still on the July 4th theme.
Summer barbecue. Yeah, summer barbecue. And they do a little bit of an auction to help raise money to support the scholarship fund that they give out to aspiring future farmers and ag business folks. So feel good, do good, eat well, drink well. It's going to be a great week.
Fly places. Bring wine for free places.
Yes. Be on a tractor, as we talk about always. The farmer's
make more
favorite
wine.
Place.
Make more
wine.
Grow more grapes to make more wine.
All
to
of that.
Take places.
Yeah.
Okay. It's all connected.
It is all connected. No. So that's all going to be really, really fun week for us. And after we get through Monday, which is when we present our fiscal year plan. So if we can survive that, then we're going to roll right into the week.
Then you can just not quite relax, but relax a little bit.
I guess that's how that goes.
All right. Well, so it seems like July is a very busy time. I suppose this is when you have to get a lot of events in, a lot of these meetings done because harvest is right around the corner.
I know. We basically have July and the first 2 weeks in August, and then we kind of lose our farmers to do anything for, until November.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's how it goes.
That's how it goes.
That's farming life, Virginie. That's farming life.
All right. Well, when we come back, we will introduce our guest for this week's The Good Stuff. Thank you for joining us on The Good Stuff. I'm Virginie Boone here with Carissa Cruz, and our guest today is Stephanie Wyckoff. She is General Manager of Gary Farrell Vineyards and Winery. And let's get into your background. Stephanie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. So General Manager, we talk to a lot of farmers here. We talk to a lot of vineyard managers, viticulturalists. General Manager, you sort of have to know everything about everything.
A little bit about everything. I think general management is really about hiring the subject matter experts and, you know, supporting them to do their best and be their best. And so that's really my job.
Okay. Well, I think that you're being modest, but that's okay. We'll get into it. We'll get the real story.
We deny that answer and start
yes,
over.
Start over.
No, kidding.
So you've been at Gary Farrell since 2022 as in this role. And before that, you spent time at Crimson Wine Group, which owns Segacio Family Vineyards here in Sonoma County. But you were also at Gary Farrell as Director of Consumer Sales and Marketing previously. So what is it about
What's
Gary Farrell?
Story,
like, what is it
Stephanie?
About this property, this
I'm a
business?
Boomeranger. Yeah. Gary Farrell is such a special place, and I feel really honored that I was asked to come back in this role particularly. I was there for about 4.5 years, from 2012 to 2017, and it was a great runway for me. I was given a great deal of autonomy and freedom to try new things and test and learn and really build DTC. In that time, it was still kind of a growing side mm-hmm. of the business. And so it was just a lot of fun. And I didn't want to leave at the time. I actually just got this incredible opportunity with Crimson Wine Group and Segacio Family Vineyards. And that role was about becoming sort of a junior general manager. So it was still DTC, but it was a little bit more management,
yep.
property management, strategy, and mm-hmm. working within a portfolio was really cool because I could rely on these other brands and these other resources within a bigger company to learn and to grow.
Yep.
A little bit different of a learning path than you can do in a smaller company. So I had a really great 6 years there at Segacio, and at the same time managed Archery Summit up in Oregon. Mm-hmm. So still couldn't get away from Chardonnay and Pinot. And then in 2022, I was asked to come back as general manager and kind of breathe new energy into the brand. I've had the great fortune of working for some iconic and very established companies, wineries, and it's a challenge to take something that can be, I mean, Segacio is 125 years yeah. old, right?
Yeah.
So to take something that people know it to be and this long legacy and breathe new energy where it becomes more relevant to today's mm-hmm. consumer. So mm-hmm. I've been really privileged to have that unique ability and honor.
So quickly, just because I don't know that everybody in the audience knows what D2C is. So it's an incredibly important facet of wine sales, especially for family wineries, smaller wineries that we have a lot of in Sonoma County. But what is D2C?
DTC or D2C is direct to consumer. So once upon a time, you know, tasting rooms back in the day, I know everybody remembers the time of free tastings and you belly up to the bar and all of that. And the reason for that, the existence of that, was really to drive brand awareness and to get people to know your winery out in the market. So when you went to a retailer or you went to a restaurant, you'd become familiar with the wine. It has become its own revenue generating, yeah. you know, profit center for wineries. And a really important one. Mm-hmm. Wine clubs in particular have been kind of the bread and butter of small wineries to be able to forecast their sales and forecast their production planning and know exactly how much wine to make for every year. So it's a really fun side of the business. It's the only side of the business I've ever wanted to do. I would not want to be a winemaker. I like to sleep too much. The wholesale side has been an interesting challenge, especially in the role now, because that's a little bit newer to me. But I really came up through DTC. So that's the tasting room, wine club, social media, e-commerce. Mm-hmm. To me, it's all the fun stuff. It's all that connective tissue that is what brings wine and people together.
Yeah.
Well, so take us back. Where are you from? How did you get into wine? Like, what has been your path?
I will start by saying mothers are always right.
Good for you.
I wasn't born in the East Bay. I grew up in the East Bay, and I was born in Los Angeles. So when I went to college, I went down south to Cal State Northridge to this commuter school, which I didn't quite realize at the time, but I wanted to get close to all of my extended family. Hated it. Wanted to be back in Northern California. And my mom said, you should go to Sonoma State and you should be in the wine industry. And I went, ugh, wine sounds so boring. And granted, you know, I was 17, 18 years old and ended up deciding, yes, I do want to go to Sonoma State. I don't think I want to do wine, but I don't know what I want to do. So I majored in business, which would theoretically allow me to do anything.
Yep.
Of course, you graduate and then you go, oh, no, what am I going to do now? So when you don't know what you're going to do, you almost move home to stay with mom and dad and figure it out. But I fell in love with Sonoma County and just really wanted to stay here. And so I was literally driving down Highway 101, staring at vineyards upon vineyards, and said, okay, wine sounds pretty cool. It sure beats insurance or computer software. Or
it does.
You know, no offense to anyone who does that, but this just sounded so much more appealing to me. And it tapped into my marketing, management, and event planning education and experience. So I dove in headfirst. I got a job part-time in a tasting room, just 3 days a week, kind of figuring it out as I went. I enrolled in classes at the Santa Rosa Junior College to learn about wine. And then literally within the same week of all of this kind of coming together, Sonoma State had launched their wine MBA program.
I was wondering about the timing.
Yeah. So they had the bachelor's program when I was there. But again, I was not into wine, so I didn't do it. And then when I decided I was going to do this, I don't know if I chose it or it chose me, but it all just kind of worked out that I enrolled in Sonoma State, and here we go. So that's kind of where it started from the education perspective.
No, and Sonoma State has such a great wine program and has really, I want to say, raised a number of our general managers and winemakers and business people in Sonoma County and beyond, really.
Absolutely.
Globally.
Yeah.
So a really important program, and I think we're so blessed, I almost to some extent take it for granted, that it is in our backyard, and not every wine region has this incredible program that teaches you about wine and wine business in their backyard. We are very, very lucky to have that.
And the business part is such a forgotten piece sometimes that is vital to any of these businesses staying afloat.
Absolutely. And the business part was really what I was attracted to. I remember telling my family, I'm going into the wine industry. And they said, well, do you just drink wine in your classes? And, you know, what does that mean? I said, well, okay, yes, I do. But no, I'm learning about business and how it applies to the wine industry. So it's very different than going to UC Davis and learning about enology or, you know, Cal Poly and learning about viticulture. So you do bring in those elements, you have to, but it's really more about the business side of it.
And so that first sort of tasting room experience, is that when you started to really enjoy drinking wine as well?
Yes, I did my fair share of R&D, going out and tasting along Sonoma's Highway 12, really. I was interested in wine. I grew up in a wine household. Both my parents, I remember drinking wine as a child. I remember my mom having Franzia in the fridge.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, big seller.
And I remember my dad, on the flip side of that, collecting French Bordeaux. So it was always part of my upbringing. It was always around. And so,
Yeah. So the best way, I would think, from the professional and personal side, is you're working in a tasting room, but going and checking out other tasting rooms. What do you think the best tasting rooms do right?
That is a great question. I can tell you what I think the industry is doing wrong. Maybe that will get us there.
We can start with that, and then, we'll try to get positive.
Well, no, I just think, at least today, It's really about kind of flipping the perspective upside down. It used to be that it was all about the wine product. I think in tasting rooms, it was about, let me tell you about every soil and every clone and every, you know, all the geeky stuff, which is still very much part of the experience today. And a lot of people are looking for that. And you do want to give a flavor of that because that's part of wine. But I think the best tasting rooms, best wineries now, especially even online, are telling their story in a different way about drinking wine for an occasion and how to put that product in someone's life, imagining at their dinner table or, you know, on a beach with friends, and just really thinking differently about how we're connecting with the consumer who's enjoying that wine and what it is they need from that wine, because we don't all need the same thing.
Right.
Well, it's super interesting. I was just on a call recently with Evan Goldstein, who's, you know, a master sommelier and sommelier to the San Francisco Giants with our partnership there. And it was interesting because we were talking a lot about, because we're intersecting around wine and sports, which obviously is something that's really important to Sonoma County wine growers and we hope important to the region. But just in general of bringing wine and connecting with entertainment, this idea of like leisure and enjoying being at a venue. It doesn't have to be a game. It could be a concert. It can be, you know, any sort of activity that really you are doing with friends or family or by yourself that's entertaining. And I think we've not necessarily gone down that road historically. And I think it goes a little bit to less about the product and more about inserting wine into a lifestyle.
It's about enjoyment.
Yes.
Yeah. It's about the joy that wine brings. And it really is one of the most unique things to connect humans in a human experience. I don't think you get that from other things. Certainly, you can have cocktails, you can go out and enjoy, but the bottle of wine around a table and the memory you create from that social experience, wine is social. And that's really what I love about it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think the more we as a wine community do that and create those opportunities for consumers just to enjoy, the better off we're going to be.
Yeah, completely. And so at Gary Farrell specifically, I mean, what do you think is your best story? What's the best way to sort of connect with the consumers that, that either already know Gary Farrell or don't know it? Like, how do you sort of tell that story?
We like to think of our wines as those that will elevate any occasion. And so in relative to what we were just saying, it's important that our wines be taken seriously. They're, we make them in a serious way with a lot of intention, a great deal of care and commitment to quality. But also we don't want to take them so seriously that they can't show up camping or, you know, just on the beach with your friends and drinking a glass without pairing it with food or really giving much thought to it. And so for us to be able to tell the story, we need to be able to show up in all of these different places. So we will invite guests to our winery. We have really incredible experiences. We have the most amazing view in Sonoma County. There are a lot of great views, but I will have to say any day of the week.
It is beautiful.
Sunny, rainy, foggy. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely gorgeous. So we love to invite people. We do some different kinds of experiences. We do these monthly psalm tastings. It's a psalm series where our estate sommelier, Gabe Brezik, who's absolutely incredible, will provide information and education, but in a really approachable and lighthearted kind of way, making it fun again. Yes. Wine should be fun. So, for example, we have one coming up for harvest where we can invite people to come up close to the crush pad and see what's going on. We've got one where we're pairing wine, pairing Pinot Noir with Southeast Asian street food. And that's so awesome. Doing these really kinds of unique and different things. We also go on the road. So we bring the tasting room to the market. We're going to be in Denver, Colorado, and we were recently in Texas. So for us to tell the story, it's about connecting with our consumers where they are and in a way that matches what they're looking for, because it can't just be what we think it is they want. We need to listen.
Right. Well, yeah, that's refreshing. I completely agree. And how, but how important do you think the Russian River Valley, you know, Gary Farrell's been such an icon in Russian River Valley for so long. Like, how important is that to the story? Sense of place, sense of history there.
It's incredibly important. We are here because of the Russian River Valley. So Gary Farrell established the winery in 1982. He was working in a few different cellars in the 70s. He was actually a Sonoma State student.
Oh, amazing.
I know. He was a political science major and found himself really doing more fermentation science than anything. Ended up in a few different cellars, landed in one Davis Bynum, and was the winemaker for Davis Bynum. Well, Davis Bynum was purchasing fruit from Joe Roccioli Jr., who planted that vineyard to Pinot Noir in the late 60s against his father's wishes.
Yep.
Joe Sr. passed away, and Joe Jr. went, great, now I can do what I want.
Happens a lot in farming, I think.
Right?
For sure.
So there's these visionaries in the early 70s and into the 80s, and Gary Farrell was one of them. And so Gary specifically, and what our hallmark style is today, is one of fresh fruit and bright acidity and what some might call leaner or more restrained. I don't love those words because I think they get taken out of context, but it's about the brightness. It's about wine sort of dancing on your palate. That's our style. And so Gary, that was a very different kind of winemaking approach than what had been there thus far. And given that all the grapes up to then were really going into jug wine, no one was making fine wine. Gary was one of the early pioneers of the Russian River Valley, and he established the winery, like I said, in 1982. The Russian River Valley didn't even become an AVA officially until 1983. So the Russian River Valley story is as much a part of Gary Farrell's as Gary Farrell is the Russian River Valley.
Completely.
Well, I'm just going to imagine the wine dancing on my tongue. but we do have to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll learn more about Gary Farrell.
We are back on The Good Stuff with our guest, Stephanie Wyckoff, General Manager of Gary Farrell Vineyards and Winery. And, you know, before the break, you mentioned Gary Farrell was started in 1982. The AVA for Russian River Valley wasn't even established until a year later, 1983. And now, as we always do in the wine industry and Sonoma County, as we learn so much more, things get more defined, and we've had so many more AVAs created. But Russian River has always had this concept, or recent, you know, over the last, 10 years or so, has developed this concept of the neighborhoods, which is different than AVAs. Can you sort of talk a little bit about the neighborhoods concept?
Yeah, happy to. So what makes the Russian River Valley special and unique is that it's got all of these different microclimates, all of these different soil types. And so it's one AVA that spans over 150 square miles, but these pockets create very different expressions of grapes and wine. And so the neighborhoods concept, yes, it's about a decade old, and it's not like defining an AVA. Mm-hmm. So there's actually a sub-AVA within Russian River Valley called Green Valley. Mm-hmm. And that is where folks defined actual boundaries and said the wines from this region are unique enough that it deserves its own recognition. Green Valley is also referred to as one of these neighborhoods. There are six. So there are five other neighborhoods. And it's really just a language that was developed to describe the sensory differences or the reasons behind sensory differences in these other wines. It's not about lines on a map. It's not hard and fast boundaries. It's about what is the expression of this wine that you would expect to find. And so when people think about Russian River Valley, they go to a store, they see it on a label, they might have a preconceived notion of it's one thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of things that come to mind is cherry cola, which I sure is true in some cases, but I don't think is totally fair and totally representative of the region. When you start to go into the whole Russian River Valley, and I mean, the best way I can put it is if you've been to Healdsburg, you know it can get very hot. It can be in the mid-90s in the summer. And then you can drive down to Sebastopol and suddenly you need to put on a light jacket. And as you head toward the coast, it gets cooler. And so that's all Russian River Valley. So you can see that the climate is going to affect the grapes very differently.
For sure.
And for us, it's really helpful. It's a sort of an organizational framework for us to help guests understand. If they're sitting at the winery and they're tasting a flight of five different single vineyard Pinots. So we make 30 different wines at Gary Farrell.
That's a lot. That's
we make
portfolio.
15 different single vineyard Pinots. We make 10 different single vineyard Chards. And if you're going to sit and taste those in front of you, it can be a little overwhelming. It can be a little bit difficult to understand all of the different nuances. And this goes back to, you don't have to. You don't really have to dissect every wine. It's about what you're enjoying and just finding appreciation for it. But we like to look at this as an organizational framework of thought to understand, well, what do I like and why do I like it? So for our single vineyards, it helps tell the story of why certain wines taste certain ways. But then for our cuvée, which we call Russian River Selection, we put about 30 different vineyards that we work with into this one wine. And so if you think about it, it's kind of like cooking. We don't make this cuvée like a stew. We don't just throw it all in the pot and let it mix together. Yes. We take our spice rack and we decide which spices and in what measurement we want to add to create a wine that's regionally expressive and, you know, takes a holistic point of view mm-hmm. and is very intentional. So the six regions within this Russian River Valley AVA provide different things based on the climate, the soil, the terrain. And so in one area that's warmer, maybe has less fog, you're going to have bolder and more intense wines. In the middle reach where our winery is, and where Rocchioli Vineyard and Bacigalupi are, you know, these very renowned vineyards, they have more red fruit driven qualities, floral qualities. The acids are a touch lower. You go down into Green Valley and you're going to get darker fruit. You're going to get mm-hmm. earthiness. You go further south into Sebastopol and it's windy. You're right near the Petaluma Gap. So these grapes have to develop thicker skins. They're smaller berries. They're more concentrated. The acids are super high. So we take all these different components and we think about that and how we blend. Mm-hmm. And it's a really cool exploration of Pinot Noir. And it gives our guests an opportunity to discover something that they like and learn a little bit more about wine.
Yeah, and I like it because I know in the early days, since I've now been here 12 years doing this job, I can't believe that. Okay, anyway, that enough about that. In the early days when they originally started talking about the neighborhoods, it was an interesting way, too, to encourage for the on-premise markets, for restaurants and other locations, to actually think about having more than one Pinot Noir from Russian River Valley. Because it's like, true. They're not all the same. So when you think about pairing, or if you're certainly in some of the higher-end dining experiences, that you want to have more of those, you know, variety just in your Pinot Noir list. And so I really loved that idea that there was another way to communicate, honestly, why we should be showcasing more wines from Sonoma County and from Russian River Valley.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The diversity here is incredible. And, you know, it's known for, the region is known for Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. There's certainly other varietals. Yeah. There's Sauvignon Blanc and there's Zinfandel and other really cool things. So I love the neighborhoods concept for exactly that reason. It's just, if you want to dive deeper mm-hmm. into understanding mm-hmm. and appreciating Pinot Noir from Russian River Valley, Chardonnay too, but it's more prevalent with the Pinot Noir in terms of this concept. It's just a really great tool.
Yeah. Well, and it was sensory driven, and I know there was a lot of intense, you know, scrutiny and tasting and kind of winemaker and viticultural perspectives, but they also took a lot of the cues for the neighborhoods from just historical kind of the way that people talked about certain regions and things that had grown there before.
Absolutely.
And I love that aspect of it because, again, you can get into the storytelling, not just the technical aspects of it tastes like this or this. These are the soil series here, but it's like, you know, the farmers in this area always called it the Middle Reach. Why did they call mm-hmm. it that? Or the importance of the Laguna Ridge area, or Green Valley certainly has its own history as well. So I love that you can kind of probably use it for lots of different ways to reach people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you're right. It was very agriculturally diverse at the time. There were apples grown in Green Valley. Middle Reach had prunes and hops. And so you think about the biodiversity that must exist and what that yields to be able to grow all of these different fruits and veggies. And then when you replant all that acreage with one item, with grapes, with wine grapes, obviously it's going to express differently. It just makes sense. And mm-hmm. so it's a really cool thing to look at historically, to look at in a sensory perspective with wine. And again, it's not something that we look at as we need to make sure to teach all of our customers about the neighborhoods, but for people who want some context, wine can be complicated to understand. And especially for folks who maybe feel intimidated by wine, I still think wine can be a very intimidating beverage. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to know. It's something that can give you at least a few tidbits of understanding, and then you feel more comfortable exactly going to a restaurant and ordering a wine off a wine list and feeling, you know, you're not going to be embarrassed among your friends because you actually know a little bit about what you're looking for.
And I love it too, because I think if you find a wine you really love, then it's easier to explore in a kind of a safe way other wines from the Middle Reach region.
Definitely.
Or Green Valley, because you like that style. And you'll be, there's more satisfaction then in your experience because you're matching it with something you really like.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, the other part of that with Gary Farrell is just the long-term relationships with some of these celebrated vineyards. So places like Rocchioli, Allen, Hallberg, these have been consistent vineyard designates for Gary Farrell. And they too, if somebody has had a Rocchioli from another producer, they can come to you and try yours. And so that's another way to explore.
Yeah. And connect back.
Definitely. We are one of the few wineries that are able to even access Rocchioli fruit. So it's Rocchioli, William Sulliam, and Gary Farrell.
Yeah.
And it's incredible when you do taste. We actually have a lot of crossover in the vineyards, for example, with William Sulliam. We produce, because they do a similar kind of single vineyard program. And so when you taste the different wines, they are different. But then there's a common thread of some of the nuances you get from a vineyard. So it's really fun and it's really cool. And I love just discovering all of that.
Well, it is the good stuff show, so that is a lot. That is a lot of good stuff, especially for Pinot Noir.
I've enjoyed tasting the Gary Farrell wines for years,
I love
that it is this mix of celebrated sort of historic vineyards, but then there's always something new. So maybe we will talk about that some more when we come back from the break. Back on the good stuff to wrap up our show with Stephanie Wyckoff, General Manager for Gary Farrell Vineyards and Winery. And Stephanie, tell us, how do people find Gary Farrell? Where are you? You mentioned Russian River, but give us a little bit more specifics.
We are definitely a destination. We're off the beaten path a little bit. We are, if you're coming south from Healdsburg, that's where most people are coming from, or Santa Rosa. Coming south from Healdsburg along West Side Road, you're passing a lot of the great wineries we've spoken of today. And we're at the very end of West Side Road, almost to Forestville. Mm-hmm. So we're technically Healdsburg, but if you GPS us, you might see it sends Forestville. And we are open daily. We are generally by appointment, although you can call for same-day reservations. We do have people who make their way to us without an appointment, walk in, and as much as we can, we will absolutely enjoy your...
Yeah, just try to accommodate them. For sure.
Try to accommodate. We'll absolutely try to accommodate walk-ins. But we are popular on the weekends, so I definitely advise for reservations. We have a couple different experiences. So if you want that super immersive, geeky kind of tour and tasting, we offer that. We otherwise have what's called our elevation tasting. So aside from the great wine, we are known for our view. So sitting in our beautiful salon or outside on our terrace, you can enjoy a flight of Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. And then we also have a new experience. We love that view so much. We developed a second terrace.
Nice.
And we've really created it to be a wine lounge. So we call it the Overlook. And we have wines available by the flight, by the glass, or by the bottle. And
it's
a much more casual kind of experience. So for those who maybe didn't have a reservation, they're on the fly, or they're just looking to kind of hang with friends, maybe they're at the end of the day, they're going to go to dinner soon, just pop in somewhere. We have that available mostly Thursday through Sunday. You can see if you pop in midweek what we've got going on. But it's really a casual and fun way to experience Gary Farrell at your own pace, at your own leisure.
I love that, because I think folks are always asking, I get asked a lot, where can we go just hang out?
Yeah.
They don't necessarily need a formal experience, but they want a beautiful experience and be in a place that you can't normally maybe just hang out at.
Exactly.
So to be able to do that and buy a bottle and share, or grab a glass of wine and literally have it be about that social piece that we talk about that needs to be celebrated more. So
and there's so
amazing.
Few wineries these days. I feel like post-pandemic, everybody kind of went into this by appointment mode. Yeah. And there's been a lot of great benefits for that, I think, for guests and for wineries. But we're trying to sort of live in this hybrid model where we want to be available as best we can. And again, meeting people where they are and how they're trying to experience our wine.
Mm-hmm. And this is also the production facility, correct? So this is where the wines, all 30 of them, are being made every year. Are there experiences that people can expect during harvest time, or is that to come?
We do have that. We've played around a little bit with that over the years. This year, we're focusing on our monthly Psalm series. So we do have a harvest seminar in September, and you can come and taste wine and get a little bit of education right up close to the crush pad and see everything. So yes, we make the wine there. We do all of our tastings there. It is one Gary Farrell estate, and we make, 30 different wines. It's really cool too, because from our terrace, you can look through glass doors and see our barrel room. So there's always something to see and something to kind of discover when you're there.
Mm-hmm. It is a beautiful location. I have hung out there before.
I might have been there too.
I might have been lounging before it was in.
Were you last call? They're like, no, Krista, we really have to close now. Yes,
time to go.
It's beautiful, but time to go. So the website is GaryFarrellWinery.com, Instagram at GaryFarrellWinery. Any other good ways for people to find you, or does that kind of cover it?
That's the best way. We're definitely active on Instagram. And you can see lots of pictures of our winery cat, Benny.
Yes, oh,
Benny.
He's part of the visitor experience for sure. And yeah, just the website, go to visit or click events from the visit page and you can see everything that we're up to. So we are on the road. We're going to be in Denver and doing fun things through the season.
No, fantastic. I love that. Benny.
Oh, I know. Now we have to go see Benny.
I know. I'm kind of like, that's
every show, I either feel like there's another guest idea and Benny could be a guest, or there's another destination idea. So
this will be our all pet good stuff show. Could you imagine?
I would love it.
Well, he's a total ham too. So he would love to be in all your photos and he'd make a great guest.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. We're going to hang out soon. We want to thank you, Stephanie Wyckoff, so much for joining us today on The Good Stuff.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. Lovely to see you.
And I look forward to coming and lounging.
Please do. Anytime. You are both welcome.
Thank you.
And we are back to wrap things up on The Good Stuff. And it is good stuff.
There is good stuff. And, on the break, I just realized, I got the link, that Gary Farrell was recently featured in an article on the Food Network. So pretty cool. It was by Joey Scaldani, who was here for the Healdsburg event and does a lot of writing for different publications and is often on the Today Show talking about food or food and wine. So a great shout out. And I just love, he said there's not a more memorable place for Chardonnays or Pinot Noirs in Sonoma County. So,
well, yeah,
he's completely smart and right on.
Yeah.
So good
we
job,
like
Joey.
Him. Yes, good job.
Joey.
We agree.
Woo-woo.
All right.
So
well,
that's kind of fun, like breaking news, right? There you go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's great to see any Sonoma County winery get recognition, but certainly Gary Farrell has worked hard
for sure.
Decades
and very appropriate timing.
Great wines. All right. So what, speaking of wines.
I know. Do you know what I'm going to do? Because I didn't get a chance to spend much time with it a few weeks ago in Aspen, but we were pouring the Gary Farrell Rosé at the Aspen Welcome Reception, Aspen Food and Wine. And so I'm going to just open a bottle of that. It's July. It's warm. Rosé.
Rosé all day.
Rosé all day.
Okay. Just don't wear a t-shirt that says that.
No. And
Or a tank top.
No. You're right. But I will take my bubble bell at some point back in the studio here.
Okay.
So just for the record.
All right. Yeah. I will return it to studio soon. All right. Well, I have always, I love a lot of the Gary Farrell wines, but the Westside Farms Chardonnay has always been a favorite. Love it. Classic Russian River Chardonnay, a property owned by David Ramey, interestingly enough, who also uses it for some of his wines. But I also like their Grist Vineyard Zinfandel, which is, you don't think of Gary Farrell all the time for Zinfandel, but I think Gary himself was an early advocate for Russian River Valley Zinfandel. So there you go.
Yeah. And the Zins from Russian River are actually really great. So it's kind of a fun curveball.
Although this one, even more curvy, is from Dry Creek.
Oh, from the White. Oh, I was, well, there you
but
go.
But still, they're making it in Russian River.
Yeah,
so
there you go. It's all the things. It's all the things.
It's a sorted sort of meandering path, like many of our conversations.
So it keeps it interesting. Keeps it interesting.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us on the Good Stuff Hour today. And thank you to our guest, Stephanie Wyckoff from Gary Farrell from Sonoma County to wherever you are. Remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.